It's a pleasure to be back. It's been a while since I've been back here, but, you know, it's always good to be home. I'd ask an interest in your prayers this morning. This subject that's on my mind is not usually a popular one, not one that everyone likes to hear, but I pray that it's edifying to us. I hope it's needful for us to hear. And if you would, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I just want to grab one verse real quick. It's verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Paul writes and says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners." And Paul writes, "Of whom I am chief." It's a faithful saying that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Do you rejoice in that statement right there? Amen. If you don't, you need to check your heart. I tell you, he saved sinners. That gets me. I'm included in that. It doesn't say he came to save the ones who got their act together. It doesn't say he came to save the ones who have always done right. We've all come short of the glory of God. All of us. But by his grace, his mercy, he saved us. He came to this world for that purpose. It says, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners." And Paul, like I said, Paul right here says, "Of whom I am chief." Now some people might think, "Yeah, well, the apostle Paul, how could he claim to be the chief of sinners?" It's true. The apostle Paul, then, you know, what I can read in scripture and everything, the apostle Paul was the most ardent defender of the faith in his time. But on the flip side, Saul of Tarsus, again, what I can read, he did more to try to destroy the church than anybody else in his time. But again, by the grace and mercy of God, the Lord changed him. All of us could be in that category. All of us could be starting our life with trying to destroy the church, trying to run away from the church. Don't care anything about the church until something happens, right? I'm so thankful that the Lord acts upon us and not waits on me to get my act together. If he was waiting on me to get my act together, he'd have to leave without me. Never would. It never would happen. I'm so thankful that we have. You know, in John chapter 3, I think it is, where the Lord talking to Nicodemus and tells him about how we must be born again. Until a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven or his kingdom of God. He cannot see it. He doesn't care about it. He doesn't know about it. That's the thing. Before the Lord acts upon my heart, does something to me, changes me, I care nothing about this. I'm fine with being in my sins. I'm okay with being wallowing around in the mud. You know, why does a pig love to wallow in the mud? Because that's what he loves. If we wake up one day and we're in a pigsty and we know we're dirty and we know it's filthy in there, that's because something's happened to us. We're one of those sinners that Jesus came to save. But sometimes, you know, we can get kind of caught up. Sometimes, because we know we're good church folk. We love to go come to church. You know, there's others out there that don't have this same desire that we do. We know there's others that don't live this as a good life as they should, and stuff like that. And it kind of gets us into the worldly mindset that we're kind of puffed up. And it's like, you see those sinners over there? Ooh, that's starting to be kind of like a Pharisaical attitude. Over in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. In the interest of time, I'm just going to kind of try to grab a few things. And we'll try to hasten on and move along. But in Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, it says, "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left and rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmuring against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" Now, real quick, do we know what a publican was back in those days? I mean, if we're not a very good Bible student, or if we don't, we're kind of new to this, a publican was one of those tax collectors. Not just a tax collector, but he was a Jew collecting Roman taxes. Taxing his own people. And a lot of times, skimming a little bit off the top to line their own pockets. Hated by the Jews. Hated. But this publican is one of those that Jesus called. And he followed him. And he made a great feast unto the Lord. But then, you know, the Pharisees, they came around. They were just like, "Why in the world is this man eating with publicans and sinners?" Doesn't sound like their heart's in the right place, does it? I've already started this off. We're all sinners. We all come short of the glory of God. In verse 31, "And Jesus answering unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Those that are whole need not a physician. I mean, when's the last time you're doing fine, great? Now, I'm not saying a health and welfare check or anything. I'm talking about, when's the last time you went to the doctor because you were healthy? You don't need one. You're fine, right? But you go to seek a doctor, you seek a physician when you're sick. And I tell you, in this mindset of these people, these Pharisees, they thought in themselves, they thought they were righteous. They thought they were whole. Kind of reminds me of that church over in, you know, one of the churches over in Revelation, the Laodicea. You know, that Laodicea church, that lukewarm church, the church that the Lord himself said, "I will spew thee out of my mouth." What strong language. What was going on in that church? They said then within themselves they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. Jesus said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Ones who feel they're in need of a Savior. Those that feel they are in need to be saved. I tell you, when the Lord touches and tenders our heart, I wish it was just something that the Lord would come and flip a switch and I never sinned anymore. I never had to worry about this old world again. But that's not how it is, right? When the Lord touches and tenders your heart, that's when your conflict begins. That's when it begins. Because we can see the condition we're in. We can see how far we are from Him. That's when we notice Him high and lifted up. I am nothing. That's why so many of this world can rejoice at the song, "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a what? A wretch like me." That's where I am. That's who I am. But by the grace of God, He's not ashamed to call us brethren. We don't need to get too high lifted up and minded of ourselves. We don't need to get this pharisaical attitude and see those people that sin differently than I do. That's being a hypocrite. And I tell you, that's probably one of the most problems that, talking to people about church or whatever, the biggest problem they have is filled with a bunch of hypocrites. Well, yeah, because it's filled with a bunch of sinners. You ever heard that story about the old sister that came to the preacher and she said, "Preacher, I'm just not going to come to church anymore." And he was, "Well, what's wrong? What's going on? Did I do anything?" She was like, no, "You're great. I love coming here to hear you." She said, "But, you know, I just look around. And there's just people on their phones and there's people reading other things in the Bible. And then there's people that are not doing anything. And they're a bunch of hypocrites and stuff like that. And they're just lying all the time. So I just can't be a part of this church anymore." So the preacher was like, okay, all right. Well, could you do me a favor? You know, could you do me a personal favor for me before you go? And she was like, yeah, I can do that for you. He hands her a glass of water, fills it pretty close to the top. He says, I want you to take this glass of water, and I want you to walk around the church 3 times and don't spill a drop. So she thought it was kind of strange, but, you know, she liked the old preacher, so she did what he said. She walked around the church 3 times. She came back, big smile on her face, said, preacher, I didn't spill a drop. He was like, well, that's wonderful. Great. He asked her, let me ask you something. Did you see anybody on the phone? And she was like, no. And he said, well, did you see any hypocrites? No, I was too focused on the glass. And he says, exactly. When we come to church focused on the Lord, when we come to church knowing that we are sick in need of a physician, when we come focused on Him, all this other stuff doesn't matter. All this other stuff can just fade away to the background because we're focusing on the one that we've come to worship. It's so needful for us to come to church focusing on Him. Now, yes, there are things that need to be corrected. There are things that need to be addressed. But it needs to be done in the right way. Over in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Like I said, in the interest of time, we're just going to grab a couple of things. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. So one of the Pharisees, one of these hypocrites, right, invited Jesus to come and sit with him and have a meal at his house. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Which I can read and gather from that everybody knew what kind of woman she was. We'll just leave that at that. Which was a sinner, which she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet before him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears. How bad are you having to cry to wash somebody's feet with your own tears? How broken do you think the sister has felt? How much of a need of a physician do you think she is? Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee which bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. Well, they got some of it right. She is a sinner. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Didn't that just give you a bad taste when those Pharisees would say, Master, say on? It's almost condescending. Verse 41, there was a certain creditor who had 2 debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answering and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said, Simon, And he turned to the woman. And he said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered in thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased kissing my feet. My head with oil dost thou not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, Jesus knew. He already knows. He says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. It's easy for us to get caught up in those acts. It's easy for us to see something being wrong and kind of turn up our nose to things. But if we're focused on the Lord, if we know what we've been saved from, what condition He has called us out of, brothers and sisters, that shouldn't puff us up. That should humble us. To when we go to somebody who's doing something wrong or living the wrong way, we can go with them, not with our nose stuck in the air, but our head bowed. Brethren, I plead with you. Let me show you what I've been saved from. Let me tell you of the great physician. Let me tell you of the one who saved me. Instead of pointing the finger and saying, you need to do this. You need to do that. Do you remember the woman that was caught in the act of adultery and the Pharisees brought her before and they all had stones in their hand? She was caught in the act. There's no chance. It was a dead reckoning. You know, they had her dead to rights. But you remember what Jesus said? Thou who is without sin, cast the first stone. Now, Jesus didn't tell that woman to get up and go back doing what you were doing. He says, sin no more. He came to save sinners. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to do that. That's a great lesson for us. Now, Jesus sat with sinners. He didn't sin with sinners. He sat with them. Real quick, Matthew chapter 7. Try to hasten on. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Probably one of the most familiar verses that a lot of people like to quote. It says, judge not. Well, there's more to that verse, right? It says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest the mote? That old mote. You know, I looked that up just trying to check it out, just make sure I had the right definition. But, you know, Bible, my concordance has a slight imperfection. Slight imperfection. Definition was small particle, speck, little bitty tiny thing. It says, and why beholdest the mote? That little speck that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Haven't you ever seen people like that? They come and they got that beam waving out of their eye and they're trying to tell you about that little speck in yours. I tell you, it's attitudes, right? It can go both ways. When people do that, it kind of rubs you the wrong way, right? Yeah, it does. Who wants to listen to somebody like that? Who wants to listen to somebody who's always wagging the finger? He says, why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is on thy own eye? Or how would thou say unto thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye? Behold, a beam is in their own eye. How can you correct somebody when we're the ones needing correcting? Verse 5. And these are red letters now. Verse 5 says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. And then thou shalt see clearly, right-minded, right mindset, right heart. See clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. It's so important for us to be doing it the right way. And real quick, Galatians chapter 6. You know, we don't want to... You know, the whole thing about people is like, well, don't judge me, don't judge this. Well, like I said earlier, there are things that need to be corrected. There are things that need to be addressed. But if it's not handled the right way, if it's not done the proper way, we're going to find us in a world of hurt. Feelings can get hurt. And I know that old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. Words cut through the surface. Words cut deeper than those sticks and those stones. I tell you, some people have said things in anger and not in the right mind that have ruined relationships, broken apart families, destroyed things. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual." Ye which are spiritual. The ones who are not being hypocritical. The ones that have cast out the beam in their own eye. Try to focus on themselves. Coming to the brethren. Humbleness of mind. Knowing that we're in all need of a Savior. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And he goes on and says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law." That's the thing we need to be doing. We need to be looking out for one another. Not going around and wagging the finger at one another, but looking out for one another. Bear one another's burdens. Help one another out. But always remember where I was saved from. What condition I am in. If it wasn't for the grace and glory of God. Verse number three. "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, then shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." In verse 10, "As we therefore opportunity." Are you going to have opportunity? Oh yeah. We're going to have opportunity, especially if we're looking for it. "Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." If we've got a beam in our eye, let's take care of it first. You know that old saying about mind your own business? I tell you, a lot of times, if we would mind our own business or watch that little glass with water, have our mind focused on the Lord, know what condition we're in, then we can help somebody out. I tell you, if you feel that you're not qualified to go and help somebody, if you feel that you're not qualified to go and try to help and correct somebody who's doing something wrong, if you feel like you're not qualified to do it, that's a good indication that you are qualified to do it. Because if you're the one that, "Well, I'll take care of that," probably a good indication you need to stop and think it over. Amen. But those that are of humble mind, humble mindset, wanting to go in love. Same thing we discipline children. We don't try to hurt them. We try to correct them. It needs to be done in love. It's because you love them. You want to tell them and show them the right way to go. Same thing with the household of faith. If we see something wrong, let's pray about it first. Let's go to the Lord first. "Ye which are spiritual, restore." That is the purpose for church discipline. To restore somebody. Not to get out the chopping block. Not to excommunicate. Not to throw up bars of fellowship. To restore. But if we're not in the right mindset, we're going to be out for blood. But brothers and sisters, remember, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. He sat and ate with sinners. He didn't sin with them. So when we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are in the household of faith. May the Lord be with you.